I'm Carrie Benedette, and this is my podcast, Thriving Matters, where you will find tools to revitalise you and your relationships, whether at work or in your personal life. Well, a little bit about me. I'm an education consultant specialising in emotional intelligence, and I use creative approaches that empower people with proven processes. I'm known for my high energy, passion and compassion for those in need of help. And I like to shine a spotlight on what we can do. I'm here to bring positivity, confidence and strength every day, everywhere. My mantra in life has been, let's give it a red hot shot. Well, listeners, we have another episode of Thriving Matters podcast where we talk to pretty ordinary guys and gals, and don't take offence at that because I don't mean it in a derogatory way, but ordinary guys and gals who are doing extraordinary things in life and work. And our guest for this episode is none other than Azim Shahia, coming to us from Sri Lanka. Now, Azim and I know each other through another organisation and a very, very good friend. But welcome, Azim. How are you today?
All right, Kelly. Thank you very much for having me on Thriving Matters podcast. And I'm feeling very excited to have a conversation with you.
Well, listeners, I'm talking to a human capitalist. Now, get your head around that, because I think what you're going to hear today is a very broad definition, a beautifully encompassing definition of being a human capitalist. And you know I talk about this notion of being heart-centered or human-centered in the way we work and live and play. And I tell you what, Azim is just the same. Now, I have to say congratulations first, because I know you have just been celebrating wonderful experience over the last few years of your podcast. So I'm going to let you tell the story. What's just been happening and how have you been celebrating?
So it has been a quite of a journey, Carrie. Like, podcasting has never thought as part of my skill or my domain or my capacity. It has been always something like, what does this podcast mean? Because this part of the world, especially the South Asian region, especially in Sri Lankan context, podcast is never heard about, right? We were only doing video logs and, you know, a little bit of jigs like that. But then again, thinking about podcasting is something really emerged to me. So it all started with the COVID. You know, Kerry, in COVID, it's very new for us. We were never told to go out, no interaction. You know, we facilitators, you can't, you know, do sessions without getting mingling with people. So the early stage of COVID really blocked us out. And I was like doing nothing and listening to seminars and webinars and, you know, getting used to this whole virtual platforms. Suddenly, I saw, I don't know whether you know Punit Jansri from UK. He was part of the tribe as well. So he was doing something similar. And I asked him, Punit, what is it? Can we get in a call and just, I want to explore what you're doing it. Then he said, this is called podcasting and blah, blah, blah. You know, he told the story. We spent about 45 minutes asking about those questions. What's it? How does it work? What are the topics? Then I start reading and, you know, really exploring, going to YouTube and checking out. Okay, something is new, emerging for me. Then I thought, why not I just try it out?
Yeah.
And I approached a couple of people and I asked, like, okay, there's something like this, a podcast, do you know? And they said, yes, I know a little bit about it. You need to have the platform coming in. So then I was really conceptualizing. That's the moment I just completed EI, a certification from Genos, right? Then I thought, this is one of my peak area I want to really progress around. And here I am, I have another platform to get into people's mind and, you know, get their views and knowledge and experience for me as well as among others as well. So then I developed the concept. Then I was in search of a name for it. Right? I have a couple of names coming in. You know Vanita. So I reach out to Vanita. Look, I have something like this. What do you think? I said, why don't you put a cafe? All right. there comes in.
Yeah.
So, Kerry, what this whole podcasting? I just started with knowing nothing. And after 3 years, in a 100th episode, was really amazing. I thought, why I should not do an in-person event. So people get more awareness about this particular whole podcasting in Sri Lanka, because it's a free platform, right?
Yep.
And it's a knowledge sharing platform where people can really listen to it. Now, this particular podcast, somebody is going to listen to it and going to really learn something about it. And I was not expecting everybody to come and join the bandwagon and, you know, listen to it. And it's not for everyone, right? There are some people who really get into it. So my ambition or the vision is to make sure that I inspire people to live a meaningful life and pursue their passion with the whole, you know, element of emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks ago, I celebrated the 100th episode, and it was a massive, we had about good connection of 70 to 100 people in the room. So I had Mimi Niklin from Empathy Everywhere. And I have Vidush Nathavitarna, one of my good colleague who I work with him. So we had a conversation around leadership redefined and, you know, guiding the whole multi-generation.
Oh, wonderful. Right up my alley. Thank you. That's why we're talking today.
Okay. So it might be coming, become just finished production of the video. So it should come by Friday. It should go out. So the whole learning, what I got from here is a couple of things. One, don't think of starting something. Don't think too much. Just get over it. Don't look for perfection. Number two, have that curiosity, do something different. What can I'm a person who loves to really explore new things. You know how the Lego thing works, how the emotional culture deck or the Genos EI component, because everything is unique in Sri Lankan context. So I have that particular curiosity to get new things. So I have the benchmark. I'm not talking about competition. I'm thinking how much value addition I can bring to people in the corporate. And the third one is have that consistency, right? Consistency is something really I really thought of, not even thought of doing 10 seasons, right? We just started with one and keep moving season by season. So I start my artwork separately, bring a theme to a podcast. And what I had is from raising children and to becoming a CEO or an entrepreneur. So the whole 9 years I cover through an episode season. So in every 10 seasons, you have these particular lines coming in. Everything is based on emotional intelligence, collaboration, culture transformation, anything, even the technology. So I had a conversation, one of the Andrea Stone from India, who's residing in India. We talked about AI and EI. So summing up, so start somewhere, curiosity, consistency, and that commitment is vital. I think I really plan it, because I know Kerry, right? Podcasting is not easy. You do a lot of recording and editing and a lot of writing to be done. So what I do is I record everything in one go in 2 to 3 weeks, all the 12 episodes. I timeline it, I put it and do the editing and just upload. So next 3 months, I just press publish, it goes.
It's done. Yeah.
So
what a great way for our listeners to hear exactly what your outlook on doing something new is. And I love the fact, I mean, remember when Nike brought out their logo, Just Do It?
Yeah.
Very, very clever, because I was a little bit similar to you when I first started. We had 100 episodes at the beginning of this year, and we had a little bit of a celebration as well. But I loved how you moved it to a live podcast and you got everybody in. And I just think there is something about just giving it a red hot shot. That's one of my, you know, people say to me, you know, I remember when we talked about even doing the book, Global Matters, this year. One of the girls said to me the other day, I remember you just saying, we're going to do it, Sonia. We're going to do it. And she said, I was just astounded. And she said, you verbalized it. And I went, we are, but we're going to do it together. And so all your work, and you, this is what you can't see, Azim has the greatest smile He has a big smile. So in all the time that he's been telling us around what the curiosity of his learning and doing has been and sharing, he's got this big smile. So I usually ask my guests about, you know, what gets you out of bed in the morning and helps you do what you do. And they can't see the smile, but I can. And it is monstrous. It is absolutely monstrous.
Yeah, so I'm a firm believer that God has given an opportunity every day for us. I think thanking God is something I always do. So I wake up early in the morning to do the prayers, and you know, then this whole the whole thing, it gives me up. It's another day, another opportunity for me to inspire people. I might be working or no. I might be at a session or not. I just home like this today. It's nothing today. So what I do is I read some article. I'm in the process of writing an article. So I do have a newsletter on LinkedIn. So I'm just writing an article on the journey and what are the learnings. So somebody can really get into it. So what wakes me up is the opportunity God given me to help someone.
Okay.
To inspire someone. And I think everybody gets this opportunity. The whole question lies in like, how do you want to think about when you get in the morning? Do you want to be like really lazy, cuddle in the bed? I know it's raining these days. A lot of storm going across the Indian Ocean. People love to sleep. But then again, remember, God does not give opportunity every day.
That's true.
Sometimes the door gets closed. Then you start struggling and that might be late. So every opportunity counts for me. And podcast brought me a lot of opportunity. I met, including you, Gary, I met 100 people, 100 different expertise, 100 different stories.
And they're beautiful. Were able to all listen. Unique, all unique.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's an opportunity. And even, you know, I do have a friend called Anton who works with me. He always come and ask, Azim, the client wants something like this. You want to try it out? I said, yes. Then I go start learning out of it.
Yeah.
Because I never say no, because that's an opportunity for me to learn.
Yeah.
So that gives me that confidence and morale to work that particular day in a very positively. You know, we do have bad days. We do have. But then again, it's how we think, Kerry, right? It's how we really put that mindset in. Do you want to be thinking about the bad day or keep going? Or what did I get from that bad day as an opportunity? Something
that's
like
that. Right. That's right.
So I always thank God and so get up in the morning. That's it.
Woohoo. I'm interested in your previous background to before you did the Genos. So listeners, you know, I talk about Genos. So Azim and I, we share a particular group of people and we have a certification for their assessments and programs, et cetera. And that really underpins a lot of our work. It's the human-centered part of being able to understand ourselves so we can understand others, so we can make the right decisions, so we can inspire others and be genuine in how we're interacting and what we're saying, and genuine with our word and our follow-up, that consistency. So before you did this, though, what was your background?
All right. So my career started with being a salesman. I was selling furniture when I left school.
Okay.
And I come from very middle-layer family background and then, you know, a little bit of hardship. Yeah. So started soon after in my, you know, schooling, I started getting to work. So we were in a hunger to work. So I got opportunity to work as a salesman in a furniture, big showroom. There's a big chain in Sri Lanka. And then it didn't really click me, you know. You know, there's an exploration stage in our life, right, Kari? Right.
Yeah.
The age between 20 to 30, we try to explore. You try to jump in industry. Then in the year 2000, this era of 2000, the millennium and in the whole aspect, computers were really booming. So then, you know, I said, why don't try computers? I moved to computer selling and marketing. So there followed, and again, still. So what I understood, there's two elements industry was, I'm not a person who can really go after the numbers. I don't want to get into crunching in numbers. More than that, I thought something different. Then I got an opportunity to work in one of the global banks in Sri Lanka. Worked for a couple of years, about 3 to 4 years there. So that's where my transition really helped me to understand how to work in a global organization. What are the processes? What are the policies? Yeah. What are the procedures? So you get really exposed to that element and yeah. amazing, fantastic training elements, you know, state of the art, you know, yeah. infrastructure, because a global bank, they bring the global practices.
Mm.
So then I got an opportunity to move into Qatar to work for another bank. Again, in the banking, from front end to back end to treasury, the corporate, I got exposed to everything. So there was a tiny shift, like in Middle East, you have multicultural, you know, from to East Asian to Asian to Australia, New Zealand to Americans. It's a huge opportunity to get mingled with different cultures.
Yeah.
So I got an edge where the HR person called me, Azim, there's something like that. You want to do this training. And it's very technical. I said, why I didn't try it out? Because I know the fact, the first session and the feedback that I got, like, was like really triggered me. I said, I think this is my calling. And I think I found my passion. So then and what's scary, I shared, I started learning how to do trainings, and I went through a couple of certification program. I started building that portfolio. Then when we came back to Sri Lanka, the family, we settled back in Sri Lanka. Then I didn't see any difference. No, it was a 12 to 13 year long gap when I come back. So there was no difference in the training industry in Sri Lanka, the human capital industry.
Yep.
So the old traditional way of doing things. But I'm a person who really have that non-traditional way of doing things, like the Legos and the Genos stuff, and, you know, how
different to what you knew, what was
exactly
the status quo.
Yeah.
So
then I thought, like, Sri Lanka does not have EI, a person really qualified for EI.
Uh-huh.
Then I start searching, where can I get it done? You know, I initially start doing little bit stuff, but when I start with Genos and, you know, getting into exorbs, exposed to that particular content, and, you know, Vanita is a great soul. She really helped me out. I should give the credit on this particular moment to her. How to really emphasize, and that's the moment it really transferred. Now I was known as an EI practitioner, and anybody wants EI, they call me.
Well, and listeners, I've been my very early days of doing the podcast, Vanita Chaudhary was one of my early guests. And so that's who Azim is talking about. Vanita and I've just been to do a gut health retreat in India with Vanita and her team there, Reema and Korma and Shri, and was an absolutely amazing aspect, a great experience. And they're now going on to do more and more of those.
Yeah,
Vanita is one of those special people on earth who lives and breathes her whole existence in a very consistent and life-giving way. And so we're both very fortunate to have her in our lives. So thank
absolutely.
You for mentioning her. And it was that's very generous, because that's so true what you said. So
I think one person should be in our life, right, who really, really get that particular connection coming. Yeah. I think she's one of the person in my life who really, otherwise I'd not be talking about, I'd not be known, right? And this EI took me long way around emotional intelligence, because I got the opportunity to speak in emotional conference, EI conference.
Yeah.
EI Experience Conference in 2021, where Dr. Lisa Ferret-Barrett and Dr. Daniel Goman was also there. So I was so, like, I was the only Sri Lankan and the South Asian person to be in that particular speaker list. So Jeremy was there, Joshua was there. So I thought, like, this is it. I think I need to master it. So that's how, like, where I am now is because of emotional intelligence, and I think now is people realizing how important it is.
But, you know, when you look back, thanks for telling us some of your story, because people often think that because you've got 100 episodes of a podcast and, you know, you're able to do all your socials, all that sort of stuff, they think it happened just yesterday. It takes time to develop this, like any skill set. And depending on what we learn and how curious we are, we can take the side branches, we can take the side journey. So thank you. So one of the things I like to ask also is, if you looked back on all the different things that you've done, do you think you would have done them differently in hindsight?
A very good question.
Yeah.
I think you keep me now thinking. Actually, I always ask that question, how do I do it differently? How can I do it differently within myself as a reflection? Yeah. At that moment, that would be the best. Now, a good example, let me take the podcast, right? If you listen to my first episode, and if you listen to my 99th or the 100th one, which is going to come out, you see a hell of a difference. It's not done by me. It's not said by me. This is one of my friend who's a mentor for me. He said, in the event, like Azim's first episode and the 99th, you will find a difference.
Yeah,
I think I went back after listening to that. I did listen to myself, those two. And it's drastically different. The sound, the intro, the navigation piece comes in. I think I've been doing differently. Whatever I do, yeah, is something unique. So I focus on my brand, because brand is something you build in your journey, right? As you said, it's about a 15 to 17 to 18 year of a journey. I'm just building it now.
Yeah.
With God's graces, I hope I can continue. We'll continue. So always I look to that next level. So looking at back, how can I do it differently? I don't know whether it can be done, but I think future, can it be done differently?
Well, we learn lessons, don't we, from what we've been through, if we're aware, if we're tuned in. And I know one of the coaching styles that I like to use is this thing about, you know, you can look backwards to look forwards, or if you wanted to actually improve this or strengthen it or try something different, you know, what would that look like? What would I see you doing differently to what you do now? And I like those type of questions. And I think there's room for that for us when we can self-coach ourselves. But there's even more room when you're surrounded by the right people who can ask you the questions and can challenge you a little bit. And then you can actually work out about, well, who else do I need in my sphere of influence who I can learn from as well? So I know it's just a fascinating realm to be in, really. And I love this notion about making decisions, because over the time you've had to make various decisions to grow and to change, like we all do. And one of the questions I just love is, now, what, not just the technical data, what else do I need? What's the emotional data that I know about the people I'm working with? How are they going to be reacting or behaving if a few things happen? So it's quite holistic when we look at emotional intelligence and this notion of how we can understand others and then look at how we are behaving as well. So how we adjust our behaviors to get the best out of them as well. So I think it's absolutely fabulous. And you can have a bit of fun with the Lego pieces while you're doing it.
Absolutely, because as you said, it's emotional intelligence is one of the crucial factors. So one always thing I believe and I say is, like, this is a factory default, Carrie. It's a factory default. When we are born, when you're coming to this particular whole world, God has given us, the chip is fixed. When in our childhood, we are so caring, we do a lot of things, but unfortunately, when we become that particular journey in getting to adult and getting more experience, sometimes we get hijacked, especially in the teenage piece, right? So what I think is, it's time to enable those chips to have better, you know, world around us, so we'll have better. So it's not an easy go. We need to keep striving. That's why your global matters a lot, right? In terms of this perspective. So yeah, there you go. Right. So I see, like, you've been mindful also. So it's important to have that context coming in. I think the school education system to need to really work on this. because capitalize that particular skill those children have. So when they come to the corporates, it gives a different perspective to the corporates. Now, people always now, the leaders, right? When you go into career, and like one of the question definitely we'll have in the middle, how do I generate, can manage these two generations? It's very tough.
Yes. Yes.
So my only thing is, I would say, like, why don't you shift your style a bit? Why don't you shift your mindset a bit? Why don't you shift how they wanted to be felt? Why don't you give that, the way you show up, make that a little bit more how they want to feel?
Yeah.
Because yes, we know younger generation, Gen Zs or alphas, are like really, really energetic, enthusiastic. They won't do it fast. At the same time, they need support. They need help to get into the right track. I think that's where the conversation comes, and that's where the coaching aspect comes a lot.
Yeah.
And I think there was a report by Deloitte saying that Gen Zs are expecting more feedback and coaching.
Yep.
I think this is why we say, like, I think you're a coach, you know how the transformation happens in coaching.
Yeah.
That conversation is so powerful. You can really untap the potential of that person and help them to discover it. Or uncover it, I would say, rather discovering it, because it's already there.
I like that, uncover. I like that, yes.
Right.
Uncover, yeah.
So coming to the context, it helps human being as being part of a human being. Unfortunately, we've always talked about VUCA world. It has been competitive. It has been changing a lot. But then again, humans are humans. And emotion matters a lot.
But emotion, if we look back, it does. And if we look back over generations and we look at the very large events in our lifetime. So because I grew up in Australia, we would know all about Australia's contribution to First World War, the Second World War, the Vietnam War, a whole lot of, you know, things like that. The Japanese invasion from the Second World War, all that sort of thing. So that's what we would be taught. Every country, we are now focusing on the 80,000 year old heritage of our Indigenous people. So there's been a quite a nice movement around to say there are more viewpoints than one, and I think that's the age we're living in. We've got access to technology that's so fast. We've got access to each other that is just like a click of a finger. So, you know, I don't have to get a passport to come and see you. I just use my IT passport. So that's but we've got so much at our fingertips, discerning all that and then how that's going to impact how we behave, how we lead. It impacts the culture of wherever we work or our families. I think we're at a really crucial point in history of looking at what type of leadership do we need for a new playlist. I'm going to be, I love a Spotify playlist or my music. Well, the music of leadership, you know, is going to have a different rhythm. It's going to have a different vibe. It needs new composition. And it needs, in all of this, people are still a constant. And we actually need to be able to work and learn from that, be observant. Do a lot more listening, I think, than talking.
I can give a nice metaphor, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you really see, we had songs in the 90s and 80s. You picked up the songs. I'm just trying to, yeah. If you really see this generation, use the same lyrics. And they come up with a creative option, more acoustic, more violin involvement. And they turn into a cover songs.
Yes,
right. That's true. And same lyrics, but the taste is different. And that's what the younger generation is expecting.
Yeah.
Give the generation the different taste, what they want. It's not the taste me and you had. Let's take an example. My father raised me, but I can't raise the same style my children, how my father raised, because I have to really adapt. And you have grandchildren, right? You'll know better than me, right? Yeah. So I think that component, give that creativity. They have the creativity. What they need is the guidance. So this is where the emotional intelligence needs to come. You need to be aware about what are they feeling, how they want to feel at work, or how they want to feel at home, and adjust those style. I think we'll have a better future.
Yeah.
now in Sri Lankan context, that the school have the education system, the ministry have started something called schoolpreneurs. So they're encouraging schoolpreneurs, like entrepreneurs in the schools.
Oh, yes, schoolpreneurs. Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, okay.
And so they're starting looking at that young age, how can that these people can be have that entrepreneur mindset?
That's so true. So, and it's not just, it's actually a whole flavor across nearly, I think, most countries now, an entrepreneurial view to learning and putting it into play. So there'd be plenty of young people. I know one of the girls in Pakistan I work with, Raheen, who you met. She has quite an interesting outreach into entrepreneurial thinking. And I know it's plenty of online schools or schools that are delivering through IT because of huge situations in a number of countries of not being able to do face-to-face delivery. It's an entrepreneurial view because we all have to make some money to live. We still have an economic basis, a capitalist basis to our world. And so it's based on employment, based on how we're going to feed our families, how we're going to pay for education or what it is. So we do have to look differently. And I like that. Schoolpreneurs, yes. Yeah, really. That's really cool, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Oh, now, with your children, how many children do you have?
So I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son.
Okay. So you're getting into some interesting stages of development.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I'm a grandfather also. So my niece have a child as well.
Well done. Is that why you got a little bit of grey in your hair now?
I think the light.
Well done, you. that's wisdom. That's just wisdom. You can see my lovely light hair used to be red. So I now look at, I go, you're age rich, Carrie. That's fine.
And that can be the trend, Carrie, by the way.
Yes, that's true. People pay a lot for this color. Yeah, I know. It's an interesting concept because we're looking at an age of development. And we look back on, you know, if you look at Stephen Covey's work, he talks about looking back to look forward. And so there is a place for that. And it's what we take with us, or how open we are to looking at what are the big rocks that we've got in place, what small ones are taking up so much energy we're going to let them go. And basically our life is like that, because for me, our daily life isn't always easy. That's why I talk about these things called thriving and how it matters and all the different matters that make up how we thrive in life and work.
Absolutely.
So
I think, Gary, just to point out that, right, everybody's focused on surviving. It's very rare you focus on thriving.
Yes.
You know, last year it has been a crazy year for Sri Lankans. We didn't have fuel. We didn't have electricity. We had to stay about 3 to 4 days in the queue for fuel, ten liters for a vehicle, right?
I believe.
We were always talking about surviving. We never talked about thriving because the mindset is different, right, Karin?
Yes.
Surviving is just okay, just relive it. But thriving is like, how do you really beat that challenge and overcome it? I think I love that part, like thriving matters is something, the message I think the whole world need to take it up. It's not almost surviving. Right. It's about thriving, and it's not thriving alone. And that's why EI come in, right? Social awareness, like let's thrive together.
It's collective. Yeah. It's us together. I really like that point, because if we believe that we're alone, that there's no one that we can reach out to, we're only going to be surviving to a certain point. If we are more mindful about where there might be a small light, or where there might be a little pocket of joy, or maybe something that we didn't expect, but we're tuned into that, we can actually bring gratitude to the fore. We can thank, I mean, living in Australia during COVID, I did think that we weren't experiencing the same of what was happening in other places around the world. And even now, all the unrest, the wars that are going on, starvation, the whole, I mean, we still are continuing that behavior And there's a whole move for people to be more mindful and to seek out a spiritual dimension to their world, of which the emotional intelligence is part of. And that's what I love, yeah.
I think when you mentioned about what's happening in the world and in the corporate context, right? One thing I think everybody should remember, the corporate leaders or the world leaders, we are not here to make profit at the cost of human emotion. We should make profit to celebrate the human emotion. Unfortunately, the whole war, the whole content of, you know, competitor rivalry, everything comes in to make profit. Yes, we should make profit. That's what it's about it. But why you make it at the cost of human emotion? Human feeling. We talked about burnout. You mentioned about starvation. Different parts of the world experiencing different element of war. Children has been killed. It's so pathetic how a human being can do it. Even firing a rocket from that particular fighter jet, how that person have that feeling to press? Does he really, really feel, am I killing a human? Am I killing a child? Or am I just destroying someone? Or is he celebrating? I don't know.
Well, I think their conscious thoughts and their subconscious thoughts as well. And we could talk a whole lot about unconscious bias here.
Yeah.
But that's probably another conversation, I would say. But
so what I'm trying to say is it's important that emotions matters a lot. I think that's the... Here's my remark. Emotions can really raise you up. At the same time, an emotion can really kill you. I think it's important that being aware, self-aware, is so crucial in our life journey.
And more people are looking into that. That's the great re-contemplation of how we're going to live for a future that's still a bit uncertain. And mostly, when you look back on history, everyone would have lived in a time that people hadn't lived in before. When we go back, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, right? We're hoping that the value systems that we have in place and our beliefs and what we really believe in is going to win over the darkness of what's happening. So, okay. So if people wanted to contact you, I know that you're on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, listeners, we're going to put plenty of details in our notes of how to contact us in. You'll find him. Just grab hold of his podcast. It's sensational. And I know I've seen just a couple of clips from your celebration, which are lovely. And it's just the whole joy and energy and absolute pleasure people had on their faces of being part of your journey, which is so good. If I said to you, do you have one little message for the world at the moment that you'd like to nail?
Enable your EI chip.
Enable your EI chip. I like it.
Right. Pause a lot because you know how this was, right? Amygdala to emotional brain take about 6 to 10 seconds. So just hold your breath. Yeah. Pause before you think.
Pause a lot.
Because pause can really give that space for us to make that decision whether I want to react or respond to the situation.
Make the choice.
Absolutely. Choice is ours. Okay. I think that's my last message I just want to give.
Beautiful. The choice is ours. I've got a couple of titles that are just coming up for me already. So thank you, Azim. It's been such a great pleasure having you on today. Every best wish for the rest of the year and the planning for 2024. And listeners, you know that every podcaster loves a little bit of love. So if you've got family friend, work colleague, a family member, who you know would really enjoy this conversation, don't forget to subscribe. You'll find us on Spotify, on Apple, on Podbean. We're on all the majors. You'll find us, and you know me, I'm a general sticky beak and busybody. So you'll find Carrie Benedette on nearly every social. You'll also find Asim doing incredible work. So jump on board and follow him as well. And don't forget, you are precious and your thriving matters. Until our next episode, you take care of your very good selves. Thank you, Asim. I'm going to talk to you again. Thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Enjoy
the rest of the year. Bye for now.
Thank you, Gary, and keep doing your fantastic job you're doing. So all the best.
Thank you. That's lovely.
I'm Carrie Benedette, and this is my podcast, Thriving Matters.